That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap.
Hey, good morning. Guess what? It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Get your Bible out. Get that cup of coffee poured. And join us, won't you? We've got a special guest today. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it is Saturday morning and time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome y'all here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason, down there in Colorado.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we have a special guest. Good morning, Tim from Nebraska.
Good morning.
Can everybody hear everybody?
Jason's a little bit quiet.
Well, that's just Jason. We'll bump him up a little bit. And we're going to ask Jason to open with prayer this March. Oh, it's April now, isn't it? April 21st, 2012. So, Jason, we'll give it to you.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon this radio broadcast. We ask that you guide and direct each and every one of us with the words to speak. Ask that you guide us and direct us with the working of your Holy Spirit and direction that we're to go. We come and we thank you for this opportunity, and we ask that you continue to be with your remnant people across this land, that you continue to see to it that their needs are met. Oh, Father, we're living in exciting times, and we just ask that you grant them the hope that they need, the endurance that they need, and continue to guide and direct them. We call for this broadcast to be a blessing to your people and a blow to Satan and his kingdom. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. And
I can't hear Jason at all.
Well, and from there, who knows where we go? That's the way it is. Kyle, what do you got for us this morning?
I don't have much, but I was thinking this morning on the way out here. The pavement got me thinking, you know, because in every man's life, especially the ones that I know that are led by the Spirit, born again, and the reason why I can say that is because I can read about them in the Bible. It seems like the rubber always hits the road somewhere, even the Son of God, the rubber hit the road. And we all got tests in front of us. And like Jason said in his prayer, exciting times, yes, for some. The day of the Lord is horrible times for others. And we all going to have to pass that test. And we all will have tests. Unfortunately, some of us will have more than one test. And where are you going to come out? Are you going to come out on top, like the Son of God? Or are you going to come out on the bottom? You know. And that's my thought of the morning, I guess. That's what I was thinking about on my way out here.
Where are you going to come out, on top or on bottom? That's an interesting thought. That's an interesting thought. We do have Christ as our example. Like you said, he came out on top.
That is
what we should do. Well, we welcome you, Tim. Tim from Nebraska. Tim's been on the ministry, for quite a while, wouldn't you say, Tim?
Yeah, been here a long time. Been blessed that way. So, just got to grow and enjoy and raise our family that way and just thank the Lord for it every time I think about it. Going along with what Kyle said, it's kind of an all or nothing thing either. You either win the prize, as Paul said, or it's all lost. I got to hear our pastor preach for so many years, and I'm so glad that we have all these things on recorded and everything, so that we can continue to learn and to review and to teach new people. I can't believe how many people I talk to anymore who are searching, you know, wonder what's going on.
It's a real
opportunity.
I've noticed that myself. You know, sometimes you think, okay, we've got the word out to everybody, but you know, it's almost daily. It's at least several times a week, you know, getting emails here in the office, or a letter, or a phone call, you know, that says, hey, I heard this, I was listening to you on shortwave, or I found you on the internet, and, you know, people are truly lost out there.
We had
one person call up and said, how much is baptism? How much is a baptism? You know, but there are
how much money?
Catholic Church.
Well, he sent an email, so I wrote him an email back, and I said, well, you know, what exactly do you mean? I mean, you know, read Acts 2:38. Here's my office number if you want to call. And
the price was great. It was blood.
Yes,
but for us, it was free. You
know? Yes,
it has already been paid for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, you know. And then the gals who send out the orders, you know, when somebody new comes along, they'll be the ones that's ordering 30 things at a time, you know, because they just can't get enough.
Right.
And it's neat to see.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so, Tim, yeah, I know what you mean. It is amazing. If we think about it, we're still looking and searching and. You know, as the pastor used to call us, truth junkies, still wanting more and more and more. But there was a time that we were just discovering this, each of us in our own lives.
It's a multi-step program. You really never stop. I mean, the more you learn, the more there is to know.
Yeah.
And the more you know, the more responsibility you have.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I find myself in the position of having to learn new ways to talk to people. Like you said, there's people out there who are truly lost. You don't even know how to things that you think that are like, well, you know, you try to tell them a story from the Bible and they give you this bewildered look like they've never heard any of them, you know. And it's like, wow, we're really going to have to go back to basics here and kind of try to get a common ground to work from.
Well, John, how are things going down in Colorado in your neck of the woods?
Good. Abundantly blessed.
Amen.
Busy. Crazy busy. My electrician seems to continue to be tested. just had a stepdaughter of his that didn't know the Lord. Always was kind of a dark side to her, and apparently she took her life last week. It's a pretty sad story. 21 years old. So I've been working long hours and working in the trenches. So.
Wow. Well,
I did notice that there's a new Bible translation out called The Voice.
The Voice?
Really?
Here's the controversial part. The words angel, apostle, and Christ have been removed.
What'd they do? Put the word Obama in its place?
Kinda. But it just says Jesus, the anointed one now, instead of Jesus Christ. And I haven't really read into it yet as far as the explanation, but you can bet there's nothing good about it.
No. Well, there are definitely some good translations out there. The New American Standard, the King James is a good translation. It's not the only translation, but it's a good one. The Amplified, I really like the Amplified because it has a lot of words in parentheses. It because it was, you know, translated from Greek and especially the New Testament in different languages. The Amplified goes in and tries to explain what the words mean. When it says love the Lord, it expands on that. You know, it says when it says love, it says trust in, rely on, fear, revere, obey. You know, and to try to explain in the original language what those words mean. But there are certainly some less than ideal translations out there as well.
Yeah, I'll notice, or I've noticed in the past, I don't really look into them very much anymore, but, you know, you pull out concordance or two, or, you know, some of those Bible dictionaries, and I've noticed some words in some of those Bibles, it's not even listed. So it's like, where in the world did they get that word at? Because, you know, it's not any of the Greek translations, you know, in the concordance and stuff, so, you know, obviously they're just pulling it out of thin air to fit their own thoughts and desires. So you got to be careful.
That you do. That you do. And we get people asking us that very thing, John. You know, what's a good translation to use, or what's a bad one? And that's what we tell them. We don't tell them to go. We try to steer them clear of the NIV.
Yeah, and I think that's about the most popular one out there. If you go in the Bible bookstores, man, yeah. NIV is everywhere in there. I used to have a list of all the false doctrines that's in that, but I don't know what happened to it.
There's times finding a New American Standard version can be trying. It's good that the ministry carries them, because I know we were looking for one for one of our children, and it was really difficult.
Yeah.
So... you know, that's been quite a few years ago. I don't know if that's changed any, but probably worse. Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah, it really doesn't seem like it's getting any better out there. That's for sure. You know, even trying to find a Bible or gather with like-minded believers. Saw a thing on the news blog this morning, or on Fox News. Vanderbilt University had a small Christian student organization that formed up, and basically the group was just a Christian group, and they wanted to have in their little statement, you know, that if they were going to have officers, that the criteria for officer selection would be past involvement, a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, and commitment to the organization. And Vanderbilt University says you can't have that in your, you know, in your setting up of your university, of your group type thing. Oh, we lost somebody here. Let's see.
Well, I'm here yet.
Still got Tim, Jason, or John? Who'd we lose, guys?
I'm still here.
Jason?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wow. Kyle, are you still here?
I am.
Man, me too. Well, here we are.
And I wasn't making a buzzing noise.
There you go. But anyway, Vanderbilt, yeah, they want to have a Christian group, but they can't, if they're going to have officers, they can't say that those officers have to be committed to Jesus Christ. And that's what the university tells them. And so, you know, your Christian group.
Well, we're just under different rules. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah. Your Christian group can't be Christian.
Pastor brought that out years ago. You know, I mean, a white Christian male is under a different rule than everybody else. You know?
Amen.
You can be white and a homosexual, and you're under different rules. You know, and you can be a so-called Christian and not really serve the King, you know, and be under different rules. But if you're a white Christian, true Christian, you're under a whole new set of rules, you know.
Amen.
Your bylaws are completely out of their operating environment, so to speak. It's really foreign to them, too.
Oh, it is. Well, Jason, what's going on in your neck of the woods this week?
Not much.
We might have lost him now.
Did we lose you, Jason? Oh, might have. Well, Jason had told us that he had, we had had some problems at the church last week. The heater blower, I think, was acting up and almost shorted out. And he did say he's got a man coming over this morning, so he was going to have to bow out a little early and go take care of that. And so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that was a little concerning, walking into the church with smoke everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Smell of burnt electrical, but fortunately it wasn't. Anything more serious than that.
Yeah, and it was actually...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was actually a little chilly in there until Pastor's message started, then it kind of heated up a little bit.
Oh, it did it. It did it that, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It didn't trip the breaker or blow the Fusetron, which is concerning.
Yeah, that is...
That water was seized up.
That is a little concerning that it didn't blow those.
It should burn that Fusetron. I'll have to check that and see if somebody put too big a one in there or something. But it was a pleasant surprise to know there wasn't a fire up in the attic or something.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, yeah. Well, it's still kind of chilly. I know out here it seems like we're about a month ahead. I don't know how you guys are out that way, but... Been kind of warm and green out here in Nebraska.
Well, it is greening up out here. We're still, had a good frost yesterday morning. Pretty heavy frost. So you sure can't plant anything yet, but it's starting to green up. Water's in the irrigation ditches, and that's a good thing.
Did you have any tornadoes go by your place, Tim?
We did. We had one touchdown here a few nights ago. Well, actually, we've had two or three now, a few miles west of us, and then over north. They had several, actually, and one of them went through Billy Yard over there in North Platte and flipped about, I heard different numbers. I heard 6 the one time, and I heard 11 another time, but it flipped a bunch of cars off the tracks over there, rail cars, and... They had some hail out there on the south end of that town that was about, between golf ball and tennis ball size. Mm. So, no deaths, no serious injuries. The Lord was looking out for people, but everybody was a little bit spooked about it. They were, you know, so.
You sure you don't mean Mother Nature was looking out for you?
Yeah, that frustrates you too when people talk about Mother Nature.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
you guys are just intolerant.
Yeah, we should be like the conservative Jewish seminary in Israel, because they are now allowing gays and lesbians to become rabbis, and so maybe we should be like them, right? Aren't Maybe. We supposed to? Isn't that what they tell the church world, that you're supposed to go to the Jews to find out your roots of Christianity?
As far as I'm concerned, all the gays and lesbians can become rabbis. I don't care. It'd be easier to tell them.
Good spot for them.
You see a feminine acting guy that has a beard, and a hat thing on, whatever those things are called, then you can just know who to target right then. In your prayers, that is.
In your prayers.
Yeah. In your, well, and.
Hey, John, yeah, did you see John?
They like to put themselves in the forefront. Go ahead.
They
I'm
do.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
Richard?
John, did you see, you probably worked too much this week. You didn't get to see it, but your old buddy Ted Nugent kind of got in the hot spot this week. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I saw that. In fact, they banned him from Fort Knox concerts this summer, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess he was at the NRA convention?
Yep.
Giving a talk and made a comment about the president, and I guess made a disparaging remark about him getting reelected, and the Secret Service came and visited Mr. Ted Nugent.
And, yeah, he said if Barack Obama is president next year, I'm either going to be dead or in jail.
Yeah, I think that was the
they
quote.
They took that as a threat.
And they took that as a threat, so they came and
I got me a Martin compound bow. I don't know, it's pretty old now. It's probably 15 years old, but when I got it, it was state of the art. And when I had it on hold, my uncle had put it on hold for me. And when I went down to get it to finish the last payment or whatever, and old Ted was there at the archery place I went to, and he signed the bow, not that I really wanted the autograph, but it was like, he shot the bow, signed it, and
where was this?
It was in Portland.
Oh wow!
I should have said Kyle's old buddy. I didn't know that, man. Kyle's old buddy.
He was there shooting bows, and of course, how that works. People flocked in because they were on a radio show, and people flocked in and were buying bows right and left that day, And I think he's took heat for years, and not that he's a good guy. I mean, for crying out loud, if you ever seen him in a concert, every other word is not a proper word to be using. But he was definitely anti-government way back then, and he's still anti-government now. I don't know if he's for the king. Probably
not. Yeah, I don't know either. I don't think so.
But, anti-government to start, because everybody at one time, since God divorced Israel, has been in slavery. And many people still are. In fact, most people still are. Probably 99.9% still are. Even the ones that call themselves Christians. And, until you get tired of being enslaved, you're probably not going to look to how to get out of that slavery. You're not going to look for, the transaction, as Pastor calls it in the Redeemed series, the transaction that needs to take place to be bought back into God's kingdom, into true liberty, And so the first step most people have to come to is, I'm tired of being enslaved, yep. With this and that and this, And he is at least tired of being enslaved. So who knows, maybe even Ted Nugent someday will seek the Lord and be called and chosen and be baptized. I have my doubts, but you never know.
That's true. You never know.
He has an opportunity just like anyone else.
He does.
I look at that, that, like you said, the slavery, the financial bondage that exists out there. What is it? It's like $127,000 per taxpayer or something is what the debt is. I mean, that's not slavery. I don't know what is. They just say that's what you owe, you didn't even, no choice there. You were just placed into it. So, I was looking the other day, and they were talking about different options about the financial aspects of you know, and they said, well, you're either going to have to cut your living back, or, you know, they're going to increase taxes, or they're going to have to, but nowhere did it say, well, you know, under God's system, you have liberty and you're free. You don't owe that. You can just draw a line through it.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's not an option for them. You know, and then, why do you think they hated Christ so much? I mean, did they hate that he was healing the sick? Did they hate the fact that, you know, he was a Holy Spirit man? No, they hated the fact that he was going to release the captives. Because all of a sudden they weren't going to have hold on every single person that they always had hold. I mean, it's so obvious, and I grew up, you know, not knowing that. You know, but I was, you know, I still believed in Jesus and believed he was the Son of God, but I didn't realize why they hated him so much. You know, because nobody out there, no preachers out there make you stop and think why. So you just think, you know, well, they just didn't know. They, you know, you give them the benefit of the doubt. But the truth is that the pastor brought out and the Word of God brings out is they did know. And they hated him because he was going to turn the world upside down, like it says in Acts, you know, and they did not like that.
No, because they were on top then.
Yep.
And they got turned to the bottom. And now that's their goal is to change things around again.
So you can't have Christ in schools because they don't want to be on the bottom again. They're
right.
Back on top again, and that's where they want to stay. You know, and the more people that say, no, Jesus Christ is my king, to hell with you, is going to cause them, I forget what it said Herod felt when Herod found out, after he called the magistrates, you know, and he found out what the star meant in the east and everything. I think it says it troubled him, you know. Well, it troubles them today, you know, when you're a Christian, a true Christian.
It does. You know, Tim, it came to mind when you were talking about the slavery that the people are in, the $100,000 plus debt that they're born into. And, you know, we are under all types of slavery today, the financial slavery. The spiritual slavery. You know, all you have to do is go back to Exodus, and there's several places, you know, and that's what the book of Exodus is. It's the Exodus of the people. That's a good way to, you know, to remember that so that you know that that's where that story is. But Exodus 15, toward the end of it, Moses led Israel in verse 22 from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Goes on in 24, so the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? A little bit further down in 16, Exodus 16, verse 2, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And, you know, I just can't help our people today. I think, you know, John was talking about the voice translation. Let me give you a quick Richard translation. Would that we had died, stayed in town, in Denver, and in Orlando, and in Detroit, when we sat by the pots of McDonald's. We had McDonald's to go to. When we had Starbucks to go down and get that good coffee. What do you mean we can't have, we're not supposed to have Starbucks? What do you mean this food, that food? You know? What do you mean I can't have my Budweiser 9 nights a week? You know? And I think that's how our people are, is, you know, they don't even realize that 99.9% that was mentioned earlier don't realize they are in slavery. Mm-hmm. And they love it. They love it. And it's, how many times has the pastor taught that it's all that our people know?
Right.
Well, yeah, you got these dirty birds on the pulpits that are just pounding it into their brains every week, too, that's serve your king, serve your king, serve your king, and it's not Jesus Christ.
No. No. Their king is themselves. It's the flesh.
Well, it always reminds me of when the Bible talks about them being blind and naked and hungry, and we have people out there eating GMO food who, you know, it does more damage than good, and they're in slavery and they have no idea. They're blind to it.
It's like that Church of Laodicea, you know, where they think they're rich and they think, you know, they think they got the world by the tail, you know, and the Word of God says, you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind.
Revelation 3.
Yeah.
Revelation 3, 17, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself into the shame of your nakedness and that may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see.
But I'm out here.
Boy, that is where we're at today, and you know, on a whole, you know, I don't know if those churches were all at the same time or if that's a period of time, but that's definitely the period of time that the churches are in today.
Yep. Yeah. It is.
Well, when you talk about clothing, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but boy, it's hard to find a good pair of jeans these days that last more than a...
Yeah.
Seems to me that, you know, some of your clothes... I mean, that's just one thing that I was thinking about particular to me, but you buy a pair of jeans and they don't last as long as they used to. I got a pair the other day and put them on, and the right front pocket was so shut.
The prices go up, but yet the quality goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Babylon.
Then you take them back, and they're like, well, what's wrong with them?
I know what you mean, Tim. I got a shirt last year for a gift from a place in town, and it was a nice, you know, dress shirt, something you could wear to church, and had the snaps on the front. And so I put it on the first time, and the snap right in the middle was backwards. And so, you know, instead of the little rhinestone or whatever being out, it was in, you know.
Sure.
And so this was brand new. So I take it back, and I tell the person kind of the same thing. You know, they look at you like, you know, what? And I showed it to them. Oh, well, that won't work, will it? So we go back, three more were the same way, same button. Same button was backwards, and so yeah, you know it. It
rhinestones. What were you doing? Performing somewhere?
Yeah, you know, I was. You know that rhinestone cowboy. Hadn't you ever heard of that?
He was. Yeah.
Not rhinestones. Whatever they are, snaps. You know, just
little cowboy shirts.
Yeah, it was like a cowboy shirt. Kyle doesn't like those shirts. You know,
actually, I got a couple. You know,
the snaps. You know what I mean? Not rhinestones.
Inspector 22 needs his eyes checked.
Yeah. But
yeah, whoever's sewing on that snap, you know, he needs to be fired.
Yeah. So
see,
yeah, see, señor, no comprende. Do not do that no more. It is a shame. We laugh about it, but you know, we have reaped what we've sown.
Oh, it's like customer service. You call some of these places customer service, and you can't understand the people. I mean, I don't know what dialect they speak. It's not English I understand very well. So
there's a secret to that. When it says dial 1 for representative, just dial like 1, 7, 8, 11, 16, 14, just all these different numbers, and eventually they'll get you to somebody who can speak English because they think you have disabilities.
I just keep pushing buttons.
It works.
I'll have to try that sometime. I mean, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I usually go through three or four of them. I'm like, I can't understand. You're going to put somebody on who can actually speak English. But we run into that in this situation. It's really hard to find anything that's of the quality. And I see now they were talking about putting these black boxes. There was some stink in there about black boxes on cars by 2015. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
Oh, to keep track of.
Yeah, data recording.
Airplane, yeah.
Except they're going to put them on automobiles now.
Wow.
Well, I can tell you, you've heard the pastor talk of Ted, our UPS man. And he still comes out. He's retiring this year, 35, 36 years, something like that.
Wow.
But he came out, and they basically have that on the UPS vehicles now, on the UPS trucks, you know, the brown trucks that deliver your package. They've had the GPS on it for a while, and but now they basically have that. He gets a report the next morning that shows, you know, of course, how many miles he traveled and all that, but how if he drove with, like, his door open, which they're not supposed to do, all types of things. And it just gives, you know, and so they have it now on the commercial side. You know, we know several truck drivers that are over-the-road truck drivers and have known them over the years, and they have that. They have literally a computer. It knows if they're over-revving, if they're not clutching right, if they're braking too, I mean, in real time. In real time, they'll get a note on their computer screen that says, you know, why are you speeding? Or why aren't you driving the speed limit? Or, you know, why are you two blocks off your route? In real time. Not, you know, not the next morning like the UPS man does.
Well, micromanage the slaves.
Right. Well, that's the way you make more money. I mean, if you're supposed to be driving 70 miles an hour and you're only driving 65, I'm going to have to pay you longer. And I can't do that. Not if I'm going to make money. And UPS has gone the same way. I had 16 years there before I came out here. And it used to be a great company. It really did. It took care of its people. They were self-insured. And they paid a good wage for a good job for management and hourly. And you could sure tell about 12 to 13 years ago, actually about 15 years ago, you could see I saw a change in that company. And the people would agree with you if you mentioned it, that you could say the bean counters came in. You know, the accounting department started getting more and more powerful. And it was greed. It was just the love of money.
So is that what a beaner is?
No, different kind of beaner. The bean counter.
Oh, okay.
The bean counter, you know, the ones in the counting house. You know, saying, hey, we can make more money if we're not self-insured, if we make the people pay for their insurance. And we can make more money if we make the drivers, you know, make more stops and this and that. And so
give them bigger areas,
right. And it just that applies to every aspect, to almost every company. Wrangler jeans, you're talking about, Tim, used to be made in America, and they used to you'd wear them out, you know, or couldn't wear them out, and
they definitely wore holes in them before they fell apart anyways,
right.
The threads, you
not
know,
anymore.
Gave up.
Buy a pair of Wrangler jeans, cowboy jeans, America's brand, and they're made in Mexico.
Yeah.
They're sewn in Guatemala.
Red Wing used to always tout American made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I bought another pair of Red Wing boots, and sure enough, made in China, and I go, well, what's up with this? I thought this is an American company.
Yeah.
Well, if it was made in America, you'd have to pay an extra $100. And I said, yeah, right, whatever. Tell me you can ship these materials to China, build the shoe, and send it back for less than we can build it in America. Something really wrong here.
It is. That's that great global economy we're part of. John.
Well, and those bean counters are the same people, and John, I know you can appreciate this too, but those bean counters are the guys who, you know, the wiring on your motor vehicles and stuff, when you try to pull a switch out, instead of there being enough wire to get it out so you can unplug it, you've got... You know, they don't want to spend that extra 3 inches of wire to get anything out so you can actually work on it.
Yep.
You know.
Worse every year, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cheaper junk that don't last.
Yeah. Well, and Pastor used to talk about that. I remember he did one sermon there with his, I think it was his dad's razor, and he used that as an example, you know, that could be sharpened and used for his whole life and passed down to a son, and today you buy one, you can't even use it for
that's right.
A week.
Oi, oi, Tim, how can I make money if you do that? Oi, what can I make money that way?
You do that pretty good, Richard.
That wasn't me. You thought that was me?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of that, don't you think, I always kind of get on the... Sometimes I get on the whole corporate bandwagon, you know. That's when the bean counters really seem to take over, you know. And I know Vermont right now is working on passing I don't know if it's a state rule or a local rule, I think it was state, banning corporate personhood.
you know, so they're not
corporate what? Well,
personhood.
What's that mean?
There's a big movement out there. They treat corporations just like they're a living, breathing person, you know.
Oh, I see.
And so they're wanting to ban that, which is, I mean, a corporation doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have a, you know, any morality. The only thing it has is, like Richard said, bean counters.
Yeah. Well, so, you can look back in the history of the Ford Motor Company. And, you know, when it started, it was a great idea. You know, Henry Ford talked about, you know, you could have making an affordable automobile. He saw that coming. And he did that. You know, it was one of the first companies that that really used the assembly line mode of putting things together. Because previous to that, basically cars, bicycles, everything were handmade. You'd make one, set it off. Then you'd make another one and set it off. And Henry Ford, I'm sure we're all familiar with his writings on the Antichrist as well, but you know, there it's not like you can't have a big company. It just, you know, has to be run by, or should be run, as our lives and our churches and everything else should be, by biblical principles. And for the most part, the early days of the Ford Motor Company were.
Yeah. Well, it just, you know, and you don't even have to know all the laws. If you know the first two, the greatest and the one that's just like it, you know, love thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself, you're going to run your business according to God's law.
Right.
You know? Yeah, right. Good point. Yeah, right. Just like anything else, you remove God from business and the same right. things happen.
And that's
shysters
what happened.
Come in and...
I heard an older man tell me of a railroad or an iron company back east, back in the late 40s or early maybe the mid 50s, and it was a big company that, you know, they had these big smelters, and you know, they're pouring hot iron ore, and you know, it's back when, you know, when we made steel instead of importing it from China. You can't buy steel now that's made here in America. Whereas, you know, Pittsburgh, the Steelers, you football fans, you ever heard of those guys? Why were they called the Steelers? Because we used to have steel in this country. But anyway, this old
among
man...
Among other...
Yeah, among other things. This man told me that they're there, middle of the week, and a man fell into the, you know, the big molten lava, basically, the molten steel. And, of course, he was just, you know, killed instantly. They shut the plant down. The owner came out and, you know, here's this big block of steel that's got this guy, just whatever's left of him, in it. They shut it all down. They allowed it to cool. They took care of his family, paid for the funeral. They took that whole block of steel that had this man had died in, hauled it out to the cemetery, and that's what they buried. And the company paid the entire expense.
Mm.
And
that's took, loving your neighbor as
and,
yourself.
And took right and took care of the family and understood that was, you know, how things were to be done. And that, even just trying to explain that to people today, that is such a foreign concept to them. It's get it. You know, my dad used to say the attitude that these people have today is hooray for me and the hell with you.
Yeah.
And
what have you done for our investors today?
That's right. And if you can't see that we're in the last days, the pastor sure put it out. We've tried to warn you, to tell you, to instruct you on it. You know, the hearts of man have grown cold. And they are, for the most part, lovers of self. And that's the world that we live in today.
It is. You know, it's like that article Jason wrote, you know, I mean, where the, you know, the brick fell, they mourned over it, you know, if a person fell, you know, it's no big
right.
deal, you know.
Right. I think that's from,
yeah.
If I remember,
Joel's
from like,
on top
Jasher,
and life's on the bottom.
Right, like Jasher 9,
yeah.
Talking about when they were building the Tower of Babel. Yeah.
And that's where we're at today.
It is. It is. You let a big skyscraper, a big any building project going up, and Oh, if there's a problem with the equipment, if there's a problem with the supplies, they'll cut corners, they'll do whatever they have to do. But people, oh, the heck with people. Don't employ people that work here or that live in the area, that live and pay taxes and do those type things here in America. No, let's get the cheapest. We'll bring them in from Guatemala, Mexico, anywhere we have to. Don't care about the human factor of it.
Yeah.
Just get it up as fast as possible. Make as much money as you can.
We were talking about that the other day. I'm working with a couple construction contractors, and the one thing they haven't figured out how to do yet is prefab the underground work on a new building. they might, but as of right now, they haven't.
Yep.
Still takes a labor force, huh?
Yeah, but the skilled blue-collar workforce is dwindling.
Oh, yeah.
They got these kids believing in this white-collar education, no real skill, and it's starting to take its toll in the
It's got to be, you know.
Other than the Mexicans taking it over, but, you know.
When you think about it, you know, it's like the old saying, you know, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. You know, everybody's their own god. You know, they all want to have this gravy job where they don't have to get any blisters or calluses on their hands. Mm-hmm. And that's just the downgrading of society, because now you have a whole generation of people who are in their 30s and 40s and close to 50s that don't have a clue how to work. I mean, they really don't have a clue. You know, maybe they work hard with their mind. I don't know, but they really don't know how to work.
Right.
Yeah. There's a 26-year-old kid yesterday. He just was doing a boring job over there at work, and he tripped in a pothole and fell and got all muddy and had to go home and change his clothes. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? The other guy's jumped down in the hole at 8 o'clock in the morning. He's covered in mud from waist down, you know. It's just a different mentality.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and I like to use the you talk about skill sets and one thing or another. I like to use the deserted island mentality as a, how'd you like to be dropped on a deserted island with that one, you know?
Yeah.
What would they contribute? You know, put your back into it. Go over there. Sometimes I feel a burden for some of these young people who are going to college and stuff, and you know they go down and get all the student loans, quote unquote, but they should call it more like a life mortgage, because you know they're stuck with that forever. And I seen an article the other day that said that, and I don't remember the percentage, but there was a large percentage of people on retirement, on Social Security benefits, that are still paying their student loans.
Oh, man.
You know, and I don't know the details on that, but I suspect that...
Well, the other thing that it does is it gets them used to living in debt.
Yeah.
You know, it gets them used to that, because right out of, you know, in their in 11th grade of high school, you know, they're getting ready, they're doing college prep, where college are you going to? What university? Oh, local college, big college, university, where are you going? That's in 11th grade, getting ready. Line up your financial aid, make sure you do that, that's part of it.
It's probably way younger than that, actually.
Well, it's at least there. Yeah. I mean, they have college prep courses in junior high now. But at least by 11th grade. Right. It's set it up, and so that, you know, by graduation of high school, they've got their financial aid set up, they've applied, you know, if mom and dad are still in the home, which is only about half the households anyway, they've already signed the paperwork for the kid to borrow the money and all that kind of stuff. So they, or maybe it's just the one, just the student. So then they go to school. They're away from mom and dad if mom and dad are in the home. They're out on their own, living in sin, no covering, in debt. Mm-hmm. And then that's their freshman year, and then their next year, and the next year, and then by the time the fourth year rolls around, well, you know, they've changed their ideas a couple times, so they've got another fifth year just to get a four-year degree. They've got $160,000 in debt. They're used to being on their own, sleeping around. Oh, they'll be with this boyfriend or girlfriend for 6 months or a year, and then old things change. So they go to somebody else. You know,
yeah,
and just on and in debt, in sin.
Well, and that's how they live. Massive depression in those individuals too, because a lot of times when they get done, there's no job market for the skills that they've supposedly acquired.
Yeah, liberal arts. You know, what are they going to do with that? What are they going to do with that? They can be, and then they end up becoming a teacher. You know, there's a young lady at the gas station up here in town, and you know, we've been here almost 11 years, so I've kind of, you know, she's been up there for several years. And a couple years ago, she got married, about a year before my daughter got married. And, well, so what are you doing? Oh, getting married. Oh, that's great. Congratulations. All that. She's going to school, had just graduated, going back to school, because she graduated with a teaching degree. No job. So I'm going for a master's. So still in school, getting married, gets married. So I don't see her for about 6 or 8 months. And then I popped in there. And so how's it going? How's the marriage? How's the husband? School? Oh, that didn't work. In less than a year, still going to school,
yeah,
still in debt, working at a gas station, but the marriage didn't work out, because to them, any more marriage is just like another boyfriend or another girlfriend.
The date, yeah.
Yeah.
Relationship.
And so, the like was said earlier, it's Babylon.
And they don't realize they have chains around their neck, and they can be loosed, you know, but they don't even realize it. I mean, it take them... They get it. They finally do get a job. Probably it has nothing to do with what they went to school for, you know. And the job that they get, they take taxes out, of course, you know. But do they get tax return? No, they don't get a tax return because they owe $40,000 to the college they went to. So, and you know, when the government goes to write them a check, you know, for the it goes directly to the college. I mean, and they just accept it like life because they're so used to the chains being around their neck.
Yep, they worked that out.
Well, one good thing is, as we were talking about this young lady who decided to take her life, apparently early on in life she was sexually abused. And I was just saying, you know, people don't realize that affects that person for their whole life. It can take over their life, ruin them, unless they, you know, find Christ. But one thing we were all in agreement with is, every one of them should be killed.
Absolutely. And that's why even in the prisons, you know, when they find out somebody has done something like that, they don't live
too
long.
They got a code in the prison.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're not going to fix someone who molests a child. You ain't going to fix that. Just get rid of the gene pool.
That is exactly. And that is why God, in his infinite wisdom, has the death penalty for those type things.
Yeah.
Is because the Creator knows. He knows. You know, you have choices. We talk about how that's one of our favorite songs. And it is. And if that's something you choose to do, well, then you need to know that this is what should happen.
Yeah. You know what's sad is, too, I'm working with some of these young kids. And like I said, this one, he was, you know, swearing, saying JC and GD. And I said, hey, don't do that. And he's like, well, what do you mean? And I says, you're damning this project, and you're taking the Lord's name in vain. Don't you ever read the Bible? Well, no.
John.
I used to go to church, but, and then, you know, I started slamming queers and stuff. And he goes, so tell me, she says, what do you think about the homosexual thing? And I said, well, the way I read it, man lies with a man like he does with a woman, they both die. And he just looks at me. And I said, I didn't write it.
Yeah.
So these kids don't even understand.
We didn't write it, but
they're double-minded.
Right. The people don't even want to read it. You know.
I'm always amazed at how many people, too, you know, you run into guys just like that. They're all kind of wishy-washy, and it seems like if you kind of toe the mark and take a stand, boy, they just want to jump right in there, too. It's like, oh, okay, good, you know. So, and it's like, well, thank you, Lord. I mean, just... We need some people with spinal transplants. You know?
Yeah, no doubt.
So, yeah, and then this locator kid, he's just like, you know, he heard us talking and stuff, and he's like, well, I'm kind of a little bit liberal, but I'm a little bit conservative, you know, on certain issues. I kind of feel like let people do whatever they want, you know.
And I said, oh, that you be hot or cold because you're lukewarm, God spews you out. And he just looks at me. So I don't care. I'm at the point now where I was reading in Ezekiel, you know, if you don't warn them of their sin, that
right.
those that sin, then their blood's on you. So it's time that we just stand up and start proclaiming the truth. And if a little bit of it takes, and it did, because this young man told me later, you know, he was kind of mad at me at first, but he said, thank you for letting me know that. You know, nobody teaches that kind of stuff. And I said, yeah, you know why? Because the church has been taken over by the Antichrist. They're keeping you from the truth. They know if they can get you to sin, then God will punish you.
Yep.
You know, if you've been born of God properly and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's your obligation to let your light shine, to be the salt of the earth. If you ignore that obligation, that's called quenching the Spirit. And it'll leave you, and if you don't watch out, pretty soon your conscience will be seared over, and you won't even know good from evil.
Right. No matter what the consequences, you have to do it.
Yep.
Well, it's,
yeah, that's the hard
clean
part.
Clean hands. Got to have clean hands before the Lord, you know. And
yep.
Well, guys, we're about out of time. I got a quick verse in Hosea. Hosea 6 says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. And that's what we have to do.
Amen.
We have
Amen.
To do. We have to return to the Lord. That's our
Amen.
That's our
like
plea
Pastor
to you
said,
out there.
We never had a bad day.
That's right. That's right. He does work all things for good for those that love him. Well, Tim, we appreciate you getting up early this morning and joining us there from Nebraska. And John, same thing. Appreciate
thank
it, guys. And
thanks,
Jason.
Tim.
We thank
thanks
Jason.
You.
For
I had a great
us,
time.
Jason, for joining us earlier, and he's down working on the church this morning. And we thank all of you out there for joining us, Kyle, and all the saints that we know are tuned in out there. We do invite you to join us again tomorrow for church. You can come to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Right there on the home page, you can join us for Sunday church services, video and audio. And we get started at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 11 a.m. Central, and you on the East Coast get to sleep in. And you can join us at noon on the East Coast.
Yep. Everybody should be getting their Dragon Slayer newsletter here shortly. And I believe Jason's just about ready to post the prayer for this month, or if he hasn't already, so.
Yep, we just got that
exciting
out.
Exciting things continue to happen. Praise the Lord. Thank
it
you,
is.
Jesus.
It is. Again, we thank you for joining us. Our address, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Hope you enjoy this closing song. Men, see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, they hide.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out,
ride them more, stay high.
keep on moving over Snakehide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.